Welcome back to the Paul to Timothy Institute podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney. It is great to have you with us today. We are in the middle of a series that is simply titled Time. And today we're talking about time and protecting your destiny. You know it instinctively, don't you? If you spend your time well, you'll protect your destiny. If you fritter away your time, you can lose the very purposes that God intends to bring through your life. Have you ever found yourself saying something like, I can't believe how utterly stupid that person is? Can you believe what they did? The consequences of that kind of thinking and behavior will be dire. Now, I understand you're a ministry leader. And you likely never say anything like that in the pulpit or when you're standing before a class or when you're leading in a staff room or among your core leaders. But you probably have found yourself saying things like that when you're with a trusted friend or your spouse and you're driving along and before you know it, those words, boy, I just can't believe what in the world that person is doing. You hear things like that come out of your lips, out of your mouth. And the reason that we think those thoughts and sometimes express those words is typically when we see someone embracing a set of values that we know will only lead to their ruin. We know instinctively that what they value and how they are presently behaving will never produce the kind of life that God really wants to give them. They simply do not know what is important in the moment. Now, with that in mind, take yourself to a setting in the earthly ministry of Jesus where he has spent about now 2 years with Peter and some of the other key leaders. We're about to read a text where Jesus reveals for the first time that he is going to suffer a horrific death. And when Peter hears that, he takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. Can you believe it? Peter is literally rebuking God for his values. Jesus, however, turns and rebukes Peter and sets him in another direction. Jesus knew that Peter could never fulfill his destiny and enter into the life that he truly wanted if he did not change his values. So Jesus turns to Peter and literally, in the text, calls him Satan. Now let's go to the text. Mark chapter 8, verses 31 through 38. And he is Jesus, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise from the dead. And he was stating the matter plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's purposes, but on man's. And he summoned the crowd together with his disciples and said to them, If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it benefit a person to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what could a person give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Jesus' message was clear. The most sacred thing we can experience in life is the voice of God. Because when we have heard God speak, when he has revealed himself to us, we're not just learning something about God. We have encountered God himself. Listen again to that final verse, Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of Him. Let's transition into making this really practical for our lives. Let me ask us, I'm in here with you. Let's ask three questions about time and our destiny. The three questions that I'm going to ask are taken directly from the principles of the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower is an extremely significant teaching from Jesus because it tells us very specifically how to protect the sacred voice of God in our lives. Let me give you a promise as we start. If you'll answer these questions honestly before God, you will protect the most sacred thing in your life, His voice, which is His presence to you. Never forget, when you have heard His voice, you have experienced God Himself. So let's jump in and make it really practical about protecting our destiny by specifically how we spend time. The title of the podcast, Time and Protecting Your Destiny. First question taken from the parable of the sower is this. Is God doing something in your life that requires a change in how you spend your time? Now, that's taken from Luke 8, 11, and 12. Listen now. Now, this is the parable. The seed is the word of God. And those beside the road are the ones who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so they will not believe and be saved. When Jesus used the word believed, it was far more than simply mental assent. That's more of a westernized 20th, 21st century conception. No, when Jesus uses the word believe, he's talking about we move into trusting Him, we move into relinquishing control to Him, and we give Him permission to lead us wherever He wants us to go. We leave our life in His hands. One of the obvious changes that will happen when we believe God's voice to us is that we will spend time differently. I love the story that is told of the late Peter Marshall. He would use an illustration of a child and a father to illustrate the principle of lack of trust. We could say not really believing the father. A child comes with a broken toy, asking his father to fix it. The father gladly agrees, takes the toy, and begins to work. The father can obviously do his work most quickly and easily if the child will just believe and trust and not help. What most kids do, however, is stand off, offering meaningless advice and silly criticism. Sometimes the kids keep grabbing at what they've given their father. The child may even take their toy back before it's fixed, saying they didn't think it could be fixed anyway. The key is for a child to believe and trust the father. Sometimes the toy cannot be fixed. Sometimes fixing the toy is not a priority. Sometimes simply waiting on the father will bring it all together again. The issue, however, is trust. Here's a wisdom point for this. Learning to trust God means that my time is now focused on following Him. So here's the question again. Is God doing something in your life that requires a change in how you spend time? Because if you are not changing how you spend time when He has spoken to you, then you have not really believed what He has said. Let me give you the second question taken from the parable of the sower. It's this. Are you facing a prolonged season of suffering that requires a change in how you spend your time? Now, this is taken from Luke 8, 13. Those on the rocky soil are the ones who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And yet these do not have a firm root. They believe for a while, and at a time of temptation they fall away. Let me share with you two great secrets that everyone who has learned how to follow the Lord through a prolonged season of difficulty and suffering embraces. This is what folks that really know what they're doing on following God during tough times. Number one, they expect seasons of suffering. It happens when God speaks to you. There will be prolonged seasons. We don't know how long, but we know that God will use that season to perfect His calling and purposes in our lives, in your life. Secondarily, one of the greatest safeguards that wise people understand is that when I'm going through a tough time, I need to stay connected with the people that God has brought into my life. Let me share a story about Denise. She was a short little woman that came to the Brooklyn Tab Church in 1993. She was a single mother with two daughters. She had no particular religious training other than a stint in witchcraft. When her drug use brought her to depression, she decided she'd go to church. She soon gave her life to Christ, and within a few months after Denise gave her life to Christ, still as a baby believer, she went to her mom's house and found her dead on the bathroom floor. That was a huge shock. Then she had to move into the legal affairs of settling her mom's estate. Her family had many disagreements, especially what should be done with the house. In July, she signed up for a Bible class, and the next morning, her house was broken into, and a man that broke into her home molested her. She then moved into her mom's home that was left to her. That winter, the boiler broke, and they went without heat. In the midst of it all, one of the girls caught the chicken pox. Denise managed later to get out and go to church. She loved to sing, and that particular day was the day for tryouts for the choir at Brooklyn Tabernacle Church. Denise had a great voice. Carol, Pastor Jim's wife, interviewed her for the choir and then later talked to Jim, her husband. She told Jim, "Denise is a new Christian, and right now she is damaged goods emotionally." But they both talked and they realized she needs a place. She needs people around her. We need to get her in the choir. They both felt it would be a great idea to have her included. And Denise later interviewed with Jim and noted that Denise could hardly even look at him. But yet they invited her and she became a part of the choir. Pastor Jim watched her sing the following Sunday. There was no expression at all. But over time, she began to heal. I'd like you to listen to what Denise said, and I'd like you to catch this principle. She said, "Yes, I went through a lot of stuff that first year after she had given her life to Christ. Through it all, I was just thankful that I had the Lord in my life to help me. What would I have done in similar circumstances without Him? I would have given in to my pain and depression. The devil wanted me to say, 'Look, I put my faith in Christ, and every time I turn around, something terrible happens. Maybe it wasn't such a good idea after all.' But instead, I learned to cling to the Lord. The more troubles that happened, the tighter I had to hold on, and God was faithful. But you know this as a ministry leader. How did she hold on? It was by being connected to the place that God had put her and having the right people around her." So listen to me now. Are you facing a prolonged season of suffering that requires a change in how you spend time? Then spend your time, listen now, with the right people and in the place that God has you. Keep those folks around you. Keep talking. Keep listening. I want to talk to you about a third question, again, extrapolated from the parable of the sower. Can you keep your present time priorities and pursue what God is doing in your life? That's taken from Luke 8:14. "And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked by worries, riches, and pleasures of this life, and they bring no fruit to maturity." Much of life boils down to two kinds of people. You know this is true as a ministry leader, but keep in mind, this is true for us as well. Two kinds of people that life seems to boil down to: dream chasers and God pleasers. Let me tell you what I'm talking about when I say dream chaser. These are those who use their time to pursue life on their own terms. One well-known pastor said it this way: dream chasers relentlessly seek comfort, pleasure, power, and security, and most end up feeling inexplicably alienated, filled with regret and pain, powerless and insecure. Each year, he said, I talk with hundreds of people who have chased the American dream. More often than not, they are broken people shattered by the hidden cost of success. In our society, we can find them just about anywhere. In their easy chairs, stuffing themselves with electronic images of success and Doritos. A junk diet of stars and famous homes and everything that they are not. Or on the back street, slashing their way from obscurity with a knife or a gun. Or on the sidelines, watching the graceful moves of athletes from the top of a beer. Even those disqualified from obtaining the dream are diseased by it. The symptoms run from numbness to anger to resignation to an inexplicable need to tease themselves mad by focusing on whatever it is they can't have. It's true, isn't it? Dream chasers, seeking to save their life, lose it. But there's another category that life boils down to, and that's the one that I'm hoping for all of us. These are God pleasers. These are those who use their time to pursue life by honoring God's voice in their lives. Henry Blackaby, in his book Experience God, shared the story of what I would call a man that turned from being a dream chaser to a God pleaser. During a break of one of his seminars, a man came up to him and told him his story. He said, as a college student, he had felt God calling him to be a medical missionary. In obedience to God's call, he entered medical school. Because of his giftedness, his professors urged him to do advanced work. He ultimately became an expert in the study of immune diseases and was invited to join the staff of a prestigious hospital. His friends and family praised him for his accomplishments and told him how much he could do in his position. During the conference, he realized that he had neglected God's call. He wondered if it was too late. Henry Blackaby warned him that the world urges us to protect, pamper, promote, comfort, and prosper ourselves. But God tells us to deny ourselves. Well-meaning family and friends want us to live close to them. They hope we'll earn a comfortable salary and build a prestigious reputation. But all of that may only be nurturing the very self Christ commanded us to deny. That was Henry Blackaby's advice to this man. Henry was encouraged when he found out later that that physician resigned his distinguished position and went back to the voice of God that had been spoken to him so many years prior. He now serves as a missionary in Africa in areas ravaged by AIDS. Here's a wisdom point. Matthew 16, verse 25, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. So how you spend your time really will determine your destiny. So I want to just summarize the questions again, state them again. Is God doing something new in your life that requires a change in how you spend your time? Are you facing a prolonged season of suffering that requires a change in how you spend your time? Can you keep your present priorities and pursue what God is doing in your life? At the end of the parable of the sower, Mark's gospel gives us this insight. At the end of the parable of the sower, Jesus said this, Mark 4, 24 and 25. And he was saying to them, take care what you listen to. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you, and more will be given you besides. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. The most precious thing in your life is the voice of God. Why? Because when you have heard His voice, you have experienced His presence. Protect it by how you spend your time. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, encouraging you to head over to paultotimothy.com. Take a look at key resources that we have for you. We even have resources for you to start a training center in your own church. You'll find wonderful resources there to strengthen your ministry. It's at paultotimothy.com.